All right, can I get your attention, please?
If you can find your seats and grab a songbook. We're going to turn in our hymnals to song 157. Come Thou Almighty King. 157. Come Thou Almighty King. 157. Come Thou Almighty King. On the first. Come Thou Almighty King, help us Thy name to sing, help us to praise, Father all glorious, o'er all victorious, come and reign over us, Ancient of Days. Come Thou incarnate Word, gird on Thy mighty sword, our prayer attend. Come and Thy people bless, and give Thy Word success. Spirit of holiness on us descend.
Now rule in every heart, and ne'er from us depart, Spirit of power. To the great one in three, eternal praises be, hence evermore, His sovereign majesty. May we in glory see, and to eternity love and adore. Good singing. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much this day, and thank you for giving us a place to gather this morning. Pray that we would just have good attitudes and be thankful for all that you do for us, and pray that you just fill us all with the Holy Spirit, help us to sing out to you this morning. And help just prepare our hearts to receive the word of God preached. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, for our second song, we'll go to 75 on Jordan's Stormy Banks. Song number 75 on Jordan's Stormy Banks. Song 75 on Jordan's Stormy Banks.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with I am bound for the promised land. All o'er those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. There God the sun forever reigns and scatters night away. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Land. No chilling winds nor poisonous breath can reach that healthful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death are felt and feared no more. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who come and go with me, I am bound for the promised land. shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in his bosom rest? I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Good morning. Thank you so much for coming to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you need a bulletin, lift up your hand nice and high. And it's good to see a full house. Man, it's so packed in here. It's like we should get a new building or something, you know? So on the front, we have John chapter 1, verse number 17. Any child that can quote this to a non-family member will receive a candy treat on Wednesdays. And then on the inside, we have our service and soul winning times. We still have the Spanish services at 4:30, Sunday evening at 5:30, and Wednesdays at 7. Also, our church-wide soul winning times. They're just going to be meeting where we're having our church services located. And we still have some seats all around. We have four seats up here front, brother. Some of our ushers, if you want to help some people, there's some seats over here. So if y'all are looking for a place to sit, we can scoot around, move in. Some of our upcoming venues, as far as we're going to be meeting, and have a little bit more space. So bear with us this morning, but God willing, we have a little more space. It's okay if we make the kids uncomfortable, all right? And then also we have regional soul winning, our stats. Make sure to report your soul winning to your soul winning captains and put that information in. Also, we have our list of expecting ladies. It continues to grow, so continue to pray for that list of all those ladies there, as well as our prayer list. If you have other prayer requests, please try to add those to the bulletin. We still have our soul winning tribe competition. And so if you're able to bring your sheaves with you and you want to get your sheaves wet, you know, that'll be a great opportunity. And we're still doing that till the end of July or to July. And then on the back, we have the note about upcoming events. We still have the soul winning seminar, March 24th, 25th, 26th. We have College Station soul winning marathon on the 2nd, April 2nd, April 29th, homeschool field trip, and May 21st, Austin, Texas soul winning marathon. One other thing to note, tonight, immediately following the evening service, we're going to have a pizza and game fellowship. So you're welcome to stick around. There's plenty of tables and everything like that. We'll get it set up. And I ordered lots and lots of pizza. So hopefully you come and you enjoy and have fun with us. That's pretty much all that I have for announcements this morning. Let's go ahead and go to our third song. Brother Oz is going to lead for us.
Let's go to song 89, Does Jesus Care? Song 89, Does Jesus Care? Song number 89, Does Jesus Care?
Does Jesus care when my heart is pain, too deeply for mirth and song?
Days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know.
Jesus care. When I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong. When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long. Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me. And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he see? Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares.
The offering plates are passed around. Please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we'll read the whole chapter prior to the sermon. Follow along silently in your Bibles in Romans chapter number 12. Romans 12, the Bible reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here and listen to the Word of God being preached.
I pray that you would fill the man of God now with your spirit, Pastor Shelley. Just enable him to preach his sermon for us with boldness and give him clarity of mind to articulate the message you've laid on his heart. And also, Lord, help us to pay attention and apply the message to our Christian lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. So we're in Romans chapter number 12, and Romans chapter 12 has a lot of different topics that it's bringing up in the context of just simply renewing your mind. And when we're renewing our mind, we're supposed to renew it with the Word of God, because the world is constantly trying to brainwash you, is trying to filter all the truth with lies and deception and deceit, and to reframe and reset our minds to think of that which is wicked, that which is satanic. When we see in the beginning of the Bible with Adam and Eve, Adam is given the clear commandments of God. There's no confusion. But then the devil comes along and he tries to confuse Eve and adds a bunch of lies and deception to the Word of God. And it's no different today, where the devil is trying his hardest to twist, corrupt, and pervert the truth. And we have to constantly renew our minds with the Word of God, with the Bible. And in this chapter, it brings up all kinds of different ways that we need to renew our mind. But I want to focus on one in specific. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good." So in the midst of a chapter telling us that we have to renew our minds with the Word of God, we have to constantly clean ourselves up, and we have to think straight. We have to kind of get the filth off of us, clean ourselves up, as it were, clean up our doctrine. One of those specifically is about love. And it says that we're supposed to love without dissimulation. Now, dissimulation is not a word that you probably hear very often or you're very familiar with, but simply put, it's just some kind of deceit, fraud, not being sincere. That's kind of what the essence is. And it's saying you shouldn't have love that's actually kind of deceitful or it's insincere. But rather, love, according to the Bible, is supposed to abhor that which is evil. And love today is often mistaken for tolerating filth and sin and evil, whereas that is not love whatsoever. That is love with dissimulation. Love without dissimulation hates that which is evil, abhors that which is evil. And so the title of my sermon this morning is this: Love Hates Sin. Love hates sin. Amen. Now, people don't understand the word love today. Why? Because they're not reading the Bible. The Bible teaches us what love is, because the Bible says that God is love, and we have to learn and get a deeper appreciation for the word love and what it really means. Because the world today is going to tell you what love means, but they're lying to you. But they've deceived you. It's filled with dissimulation. And in fact, most churches today, I guarantee they say, "We're going to have a message on love today." But if their message is not abhorring that which is evil, it's with dissimulation. Yeah. And you know what? This morning's sermon is not going to be with dissimulation. It is going to hate sin. Because love hates sin. Now go with three chapters back, just Romans chapter 9. We're not going very far in the Bible. And there's this Christian ideology, a liberal ideology, a satanic ideology that teaches that God loves everyone at all times. Just every single person at all times. God only has love for people. God only loves. And we're supposed to just share that love of God. Okay? Well, here's the thing. Sometimes when you share the love of God, it's hating sin. That's what you're really sharing. That's the kind of love that we're supposed to share with some people, because God also hates. Now, look at the Bible in Romans chapter 9, verse 13. "As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." Now, how do you look at that in your New Testament and then tell me straight face, well, God loves every single person at all times? It looks like he hates Esau. Since that's what the Bible just literally says, not only is this being mentioned in Romans chapter 9, it's a quote from the Old Testament as how God still currently feels in Romans. And I love verses like this because it goes to show that God doesn't change. "I am the Lord, I change not." It's not like, well, in the Old Testament he hated, Now in the New Testament, we don't do that. He's saying, no, remember when I hated in the Old Testament? I still feel that way today. I still hate Esau. I hated Esau in the Old Testament. I hate Esau in the New Testament. And you know what? God does truly hate certain people, okay? And in fact, God just hates all sin. God, if you actually read the Bible, it'll teach you that God hates sinners. Now, people say, well, God loves sinners. That's true, okay? We have to put context around both those statements. But you can't say God just loves sinners carte blanche. Can't say God hates sinners carte blanche. Both are equally true, okay? Here's another thing, though. What do they mean when they love sinners? What does the world typically mean when they love sinners? It means that they tolerate their sin. It's a toleration today. And this toleration's ultimate culmination to me, which is so abhorrent, is that where they say, I don't even believe in the death penalty because, you know what, we're in the New Testament and love wins. And we're supposed to love people. But here's the thing. Love doesn't like sin. Love does not want to tolerate sin. Love abhors sin. It hates sin with a complete hatred. Go over to Proverbs chapter 24. Go to Proverbs chapter number 24. Here's what you have to understand about the death penalty is if you believe in the death penalty, it's equally applied to every single person. It's not against a certain race. It's not against a certain just male or female. It's not against a community. It's not. Because it's literally just teaching, hey, any person of any color, age, race, anything that commits murder, they're supposed to be put to death. It's not like, oh, the death penalty is attacking the murder community. You know, you're just so hateful to the murder community. You know, all those murderers that are just in a special little interest group protected by the government today. Or, man, you're just so against the rape community. Look, there's no such thing as a rape community. There's no such thing as a murder community. There's just people who commit murder. There's just people who commit crimes. Here's the community, criminals. The community of criminals. And you know what? The Bible teaches that criminals should be punished if you want to live in a healthy society. And one of those things is the death penalty. And let me tell you something. The death penalty is loving because it abhors that which is evil. And you know, if you don't like the death penalty, you know what you're telling me? You love murder. You love rape. You love faggots. Yeah. And you know what? This world loves faggots instead of loving God and loving his word. Right. You know what? Because you can't love the Bible and love the murderer. Right. You can't. You can't love the Bible and love the rapist. You can't love the Bible and love the faggot because they're incompatible. And we're not talking about some person that has a predisposed, immutable characteristic. We're talking about criminals that commit crimes. And you know, it's equally applied because any person that commits any of those crimes at any time, the Bible prescribes the death penalty. Yeah. It's very consistent. It's very logical. And the people that argue against this, really, they don't even want to talk about it. They don't actually bring up any verses in the Bible. They don't want to see what the law has to say. They don't want to see what history has to say. Why? Because they're a coward. That's why. Because they don't actually love. You know what? We need some preachers in America that love Americans and that would bring back the death penalty. That would bring back the word of God being thundered forth in pulpits today. But you know what? They're not full of love. They're full of dissimulation today. And so they're going to get up and love the murderer and love the rapist and love the homosexual and love everything that was just evil and filthy and disgusting and abominable today when they live in the United States of abomination. It's sick. Say, man, you seem angry this morning. Yeah, I don't know how you live in America and you're not angry at all. How is not anybody angry when they look at the filth in this world? How do we live in an area where there's literally thousands and thousands of churches and no one loves the Bible and no one loves people? You know what? They hate the preacher. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate rather than hating the pedophile. What kind of world do we live in when you hate the preacher and not the pedophile? Oh, I'll do business with pedophiles, but a preacher? No. Have you heard what he says? Oh, it's hate speech. Well, do you know what they do? Do you know what they do to little children? Do you know what they do in our society? Do you know what they do so lovingly in private? It's disgusting and filthy and abominable, my friend. And you know what? You're not loving to tell me, oh, you believe in the death penalty? You're so hateful. No, you're hateful for not believing it. Look at Proverbs 24, verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? The Bible says that you have a small strength, you're a coward, you're weak, when you will not put those to death that are deserving of death. You know, there was a youth in the Bible, and he was not willing to take up the sword and to slay the false prophet because he was a youth, signifying the fact that he was weak, signifying that he was not strong, because the strong put down those that need to be put down. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 8. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 8. And you know what? We live in a nation today that's full of weak, soft men today. They don't leave their house. They don't leave their home. They don't even drive their own car. I mean, they just literally do nothing today. They're just so weak and panty-wasted, and they just sit behind their computer, and they just get fat and obese, and they're so sedentary. They don't even know what it's like to be a real man anymore. The only killing they do is on Call of Duty today because they don't have any real-life experience. They don't even know what a gun looks like. They dress so effeminate and queer and sissy, and they go to some queer effeminate church online because they can't even bother themselves to get out of their pajamas this morning, and they just have to listen to about a 15-minute sermonette so they don't get offended. And we don't see churches filled with men today. We don't see America filled with men today. I mean, men have just basically gone away. They're non-existent. Outside of this room, it's hard to find a real man. It's hard to find a man that's actually willing to provide for his family, that's willing to dress like a man, that hates fags. I mean, when I grew up, everybody did. Everyone. You know, when I grew up, you know, the death penalty wasn't scary. It was reality. You know what wasn't scary? Words. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. We don't even believe that anymore. Hate speech. I was looking up a company I was trying to do business with this week, and what they do is they provide an app on your phone to where you can watch sermons. And they were like, hey, this is for churches because YouTube's shutting you down and Facebook's shutting you down. Just pay us money and we'll put your sermons out there. We want to stand against the Christian persecution. And I said, yeah, I don't think y'all would probably want me on your platform. He's like, look, as long as you abide by the terms and conditions, you're fine. So I just pull up the terms and conditions while I'm on the phone with him. And I look at it and it says, what's not allowed on the platform? Hate speech. Like, I said, dude, I'm totally getting banned from your platform as soon as I start preaching. Because love hates. And he's just like, oh, well, we're supposed to love everybody. And I was just like, well, Psalms 139 says, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. He's like, well, that's above my pay grade, so. I'm just thinking like, you know, hey, we're going to empower Christians to believe what we believe. And nothing more, nothing less. I mean, that is censorship at its finest. I mean, I don't even know. Does YouTube literally say hate speech isn't allowed on the platform? I don't even know if that is on YouTube. They're talking about YouTube censorship. Their terms and conditions say no hate speech. And of course, we live in America where supposedly we have the First Amendment. But notice every single business, every single corporation has already changed all the law so that the Constitution is just a piece of paper somewhere. Because if they implement, if every company implements hate speech, what's the point of even having the First Amendment anymore? You know, well, private businesses should be able to do whatever they want. Oh, yeah, I thought a bakery wasn't even allowed to not bake a cake for a bunch of faggots. Yeah. But, of course, you can shut me down for preaching the Bible? Talk about hypocrites. I mean, this world is full of hypocrisy and lies and deception. And you know what? Because They will not execute the death penalty. We have the worst filth walking around. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Notice, because we don't actually punish criminals the way that the Bible teaches, men do that which is wicked, and in fact it emboldens them to do more. You know, criminals today can get away with so much, and no one's going to punish them, no one's going to attack them, no one, I mean, it's just, it's basically like nothing anymore. The district attorneys are all women, and they don't want to punish anybody for anything. They didn't even spank their own kids, and so how are they going to actually execute criminals? How are they going to actually punish criminals? They're just going to give them a talking to, give them some counseling sessions. Some of them might beg for prison after that anyways, I don't know. Go to Psalms 119, go to Psalms 119. You say, how many points do you have to your sermon? One. Love hates sin. Point one. I usually am almost done by point one anyways, and I have to throw a bunch of extra points, so you just get 1 point, right? Psalm 119, look at 163, verse 163. The Bible says, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. So notice the inverse. If you love the law of God, you hate lying. And if you hate lying, you love the Lord's commandment here. You love the Lord's commandments, his statutes, his principles, because, you know, they have to be on the same spectrum. You cannot have both. You can't say, well, I love lying and the Bible. You either hate lying and love the Bible, or you hate the Bible and love lying. Notice that the devil, the father of lies, is a perfect embodiment of someone who loves lying. That's all he does. And he hates the word of God. He hates God's commandments. He wants nothing to do with the Bible. Now go, if you would, to Numbers 15. Go to Numbers 15. Something you have to understand in the Bible is when you sin, God looks at it as if you hate his commandments. As you hate him. Sinning. You know, we're not talking about just the worst sins. We're talking about sinning, period. When you sin, God looks at you and says, why do you just hate the Bible? Why do you hate the word of God? Now look what it says in Numbers 15, verse 29. Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Because he hath despised the word of the Lord, and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off, his iniquity shall be upon him. So the Bible says, hey, when you just commit sin, and you know it's sin, you know it's wrong, God says, you despise my commandment, you hate my commandment. You know who's like that? Adam. Adam knew what was right. Adam knew not to eat of the tree in the midst of the garden. But what did Adam do? He ate it anyways, showing that he despised the word of the Lord. He despised the commandment of God. And you know what? When you sin, do you look at yourself and say, wow, why do I hate God's word so much? Why do I despise? You know, we're supposed to love without dissimulation. Oh, I love the Lord. Then why are you sinning so much? You know, the people that love God are following his commandments. Don't be deceived. Don't be tricked. Don't be fooled. The people in your life that want to just tell you, oh, I just love God so much. I just love Jesus so much. But they just have so much sin in their life. They're a big liar. They're a big hypocrite. They don't even know what love is. You know, when David did the same thing, go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. Go to 2 Samuel chapter number 12. You know, in the book of Numbers, the person that committed this sin, it's a very grievous sin. He's picking up sticks on the Sabbath, and it illustrates basically a works-based salvation. It illustrates physical death, which also symbolizes spiritual death. And it was a very grievous, evil sin. You were put to death for committing such a sin. So we see a pretty extreme offense. But at the same time, even God's people, even people who are saved, even the man after God's own heart can still have somewhere in that human flesh, in that human heart,